All right, good afternoon and welcome to The Drive here on TSN 1200. I'm Graham Creech, in for Lever Sage and AJ Jakubek, and Dean Brown is right to my broadcast, right? You got to turn your microphone on first, Dino. There you go.
And I'm reaching for the switch to turn the headphones up. See, I have no
idea. There's a little dial to your right where your headphone is plugged in, where you could turn up the volume. I can help you that with that in a second.
Hold on, I'm going under the desk.
But Dean Brown is in today to answer your question. You would be in for AJ, and I'm in for Lee.
Wow, okay.
Although technically I'm in for Steve Lloyd today, and you're in for me because of vacation and whatever. And normally we do the, hey, how are you? What's going on here?
But no time for that.
No time for that because we're beginning the show with our first guest of the afternoon. We're going to go right to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline and welcome in the voice of the Avs, the Colorado Avalanche, Connor McGahee. Good afternoon, Connor. How are you doing today?
Hi, guys. I'm in for somebody, I assume. Who am I in for today?
You can be – well, normally
Dean Brown, maybe?
Well, no, normally this would be the slot where we would have Wayne Gretzky. So you're in for Gretzky.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here today, the role of Wayne Gretzky will be played by somebody who is completely not qualified to play Wayne Gretzky. Here he is, Connor McGahee.
For those of you listening out there, Connor McGahee is me about 30 years ago. So very sharp, very sharp looking. But generally a dim bulb that can, you know, just get by, and you're doing it beautifully.
Thank you very much. I actually still have the handwritten note on my cubicle wall that says, I want to be Dean Brown. And it's there to this day. It's handwritten. So it keeps me going every single day, Dean.
There we go. It's a life of stupid, but just ride it.
Yep.
I feel like I just want to turn my mic off and let you guys go toe-to-toe with the old broadcasting jokes and everything.
Well, I'm the old generation. Connor's the new generation. This is the two generations meeting in the broadcast world. Except he's got a game to do and I don't.
Something tells me you fit in very well with the two of us. I don't know why that is.
All right, well, let's see. We got one game tonight in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it is the Colorado Avalanche hosting the St. Louis Blues. In Game 5, the Avs leading 3-1, and looking to get over the second-round hump tonight as they can eliminate the Blues. I guess, is that how you'd summarize the feeling with the fan base with this Avalanche team, is that they're looking to get past that second-round hurdle that they've been unable to so far?
You know, I don't think so. I think that may be a little bit of old hat, and Jared Bednar, before the series started or maybe even after game one, said we're not trying to beat the second round, we're trying to beat the second round opponent, whoever that is. And it happened to be the San Jose Sharks back in 2019. The Avalanche were the 8th seed. They took care of Calgary in 5 games and then took the San Jose Sharks to 7. Probably should have won that game. That was the Gabe Landeskog offside, if you remember that one. So some unlucky there. And then the next year, they have all kinds of injuries in the bubble in Edmonton versus the Dallas Stars, including both goaltenders. So that one didn't go their way. The first one that was really a disappointment, I think, was last year versus the Vegas Golden Knights. They're up 2-0. They lose that series in 6. And that was the one that stuck with everybody. I mean, you saw and have heard the post-game comments of Nathan MacKinnon after Game 6 last year in Vegas, probably on repeat since. And so it wasn't necessarily a second-round thing. It's a little bit circumstantial, but I thought it was a brilliant way to put it for Jared Bednar. We're not trying to beat the second round. We're trying to beat the second-round opponent. And so far, they've been able to do that 3 times out of 4 versus the St. Louis Blues.
Has this, Connor, surprised you in any way? And I ask that because I got to be honest with you, this is kind of going the way I thought it would go. You know, when I've been doing interviews and people ask me even before the series started, I said, you know, St. Louis, people talk about them and they play big body hockey. They do, but not in the sense they're going to put you into the third row with a body check. It's just they're always leaning on you. They're always on you. They're always around you. They're always taking away gap. But my perspective was, how do you do that with Nathan MacKinnon? How do you do that with, you know, that's the thing, that, you know, the way you play, I'm not sure it's possible to play that way against Colorado because, you know, it's on a team that fast and that physical, how do you keep that gap close? You can't. And that's pretty much how this has gone.
Yeah, and to some extent, I mean, the Blues have done a great job on doing exactly that on Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. But when you focus so much on those two, then that frees up somebody else to step up and make an impact. Nazem Kadri, obviously, is the latest example of that with a hat trick in Game 4. Arturi Lehkonen, he has two goals in Game number 3. So it's always somebody. I mean, you have goals from two defensemen in Game 4, Eric Johnson and Devon Toews. So everyone's saying, well, for a team that lost players like Jonas Donskoy and Brandon Saad, how is this team deeper? I said, well, you have career years from Nichushkin, Kadri, and you have the highest scoring defensive core in the National Hockey League, both in the regular season and in the postseason. So the Blues have, I'll give them credit, they have done a good job of limiting the space and therefore the scoring of both Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon, but there are more threats than just the two of them on this team, and that's where the Avalanche have lived up to this depth conversation. They've found somebody else almost on a nightly basis to step in and fill a gap that is sort of left there by the defensive play on MacKinnon and Cale Makar, and that's part of the big reason and why the Avalanche are up 3-1. And Dean, I'm also always fascinated to get the view from outside the market, you know what I mean? Because we can get so caught up in what's happening directly. It's fun to see what people outside of Denver, Colorado, and outside the Central Division think about how this is playing out and how it was supposed to play out.
Well, I love getting your, on the other, the flip side, I like getting your perspective because I'm interested to find out how you think that not only the fan base, but the teammates of one of the players you mentioned who had a massive year, Nazem Kadri, how they've kind of rallied around him and also how he's been forced to deal with this and just disgusting comments that were sent his way. And I think some of the focus from the outside seems like he's the one that has to overcome this hurdle rather than the focus on being on the people that are hurling these things at him. And not only that, the physical play and the stuff that the Blues are targeting him as well.
Yeah, I think we have seen some massive growth in Nazem Kadri in that Game 4 in particular, because, Graham, in that instance you're talking about with the Buchnevich and David Perron instances, in both, he doesn't retaliate. Braden Schenn, the first shift of the game, tries to get him to go and do something. And maybe a Nazem Kadri of yesteryear, and I take every opportunity I can to get yesteryear in as much as possible.
It's a good word. Very good word.
Thank you very much. I thought you'd appreciate that. Nazem Kadri of yesteryear, there I said it again, would have maybe bit there and done something that would cost his team. And if you read the Players' Tribune article that he wrote before the playoffs started, it was titled "I Am Who I Am," but he was very honest about how he has felt in those situations, both with the Toronto Maple Leafs versus Boston, and again last year versus the Blues, where he does something that puts him out of the postseason and costs his team. And he didn't want to do anything to put him in a position where he was going to do that again. And I think that's encapsulated in Game 4, where he doesn't retaliate. The Avalanche technically do not score on the 5-on-3 that they generated from those two penalties, but they're just getting on the ice, Perron and Buchnevich, when Kadri ends up scoring the game-winning goal on a feed from Bowen Byram. And so he stuck with it. He kept his cool, and that's what Jared Bednar said to him. You probably saw on the Sportsnet coverage, he leaned over his shoulder and he said, hey, you know, stick with it. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're okay. And, you know, and it'll come to you, and it sure did. So I applaud how Nazem Kadri has handled this on the ice and off, because his postgame, both in 3 and 4, with the water bottle in 3, and then in 4, what he was able to say before and after, honestly, I love to see people improve and grow, and we have definitely seen that with Nazem Kadri, and that definitely makes this fan base in this city feel good about getting behind him. And I'd like to think, instead of, you know, he got every time he got the puck and was booed in Game number 4, I'd like to think that every time that he gets the puck tonight, that the Avs fans would cheer as loud as they can for number 91 in burgundy and blue.
Yeah. You know, do you think, though, that the teammates are still a little bit, you know, just got to make, because the other side of his, well, actually it's part of the same side of his game. He's still a jerk. He's still always talking on the ice. Guys hate him. People all want to punch him in the face, which is one of the benefits that he brings, you know, like he gets under people's skin, he, you know, but the problem always is when they do something, then he does something back and he gets suspended. I think it's a great thing that he's been able to take the getting suspended part out, but that other stuff that really annoys people is an advantage, and he's kept that in. But if I'm a teammate, I'm still kind of going, can he keep those two things separated? Can he keep those two things apart? Because we love all the other stuff. But just he's right on the edge there again of getting suspended for something. And it's just, I would think guys are still a bit nervous.
I don't get the sense of that, Dean, to be honest with you. I think that if you hear what Darcy Kuemper, Eric Johnson, and Coach Bednar had to say after that game four, that it galvanized the team as a group and that everyone is behind Nas. And he's been able to, all season long, really, sort of rechannel that energy. You know, it may have gone to that area before, but now it's gone into a career year for him. You know, he had more assists this year than he had for a career high in points previously. You know, so I think that was a focus for him, and part of that maturation process is to rechannel where that part of his game was going, and to know when to let off the gas and know when to just, hey, apply this to skill and scoring into a team game. And defensively, this was his best year ever, in my opinion, too. So I don't get the sense that that is the feeling from any of his teammates. Everyone has been behind him 100%, and everyone has everyone's backs. And while there, you know, some teams may have cliques and different guys off in every direction, I don't get the sense that this team has any of that. It's one big group at the moment.
We're joined by the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Avalanche, Connor McGahey. And Connor, one of the things you touched on is that you like to get the outside perspective of the team because you're so close to it. For me, just looking at the blue line, one of the reasons, like, Colorado is obviously a deep team and with a ton of skill, but I love their blue line. Of course, you got Cale Makar and Devin Taves, who maybe isn't talked about enough outside of Colorado. And Bowen Byram is electric. I know he's been through concussion and injury problems to start his career, but you got him on your third pair. And I really like that Josh Manson was added to the mix to provide the size to go along with so many skill players. What do you believe you see in the group that you look at on the blue line?
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned that they led the regular season amongst defensemen with goals of 64. They lead the playoffs. They have 10 as a group, three more than any other team in the National Hockey League. I mean, Cale Makar has 43 points in 43 playoff games. It has him tied with Rob Blake for the second most ever in the playoffs by a D-man in franchise history. And he's played 25 fewer games than Blake has. Three of his assists have come on game-winning goals, including Monday. And you're right. I mean, you have Devon Taves, who shows up, and he doesn't get talked about enough until I tweet about him, and then every Islander fan tends to show up and say, well, thanks for that. And he was one of the best acquisitions that this organization has come up with in a long time. Two second-round picks from the New York Islanders, and then you sign him to a four-year deal worth $4 million each, and that's good money for one of the best metric defensemen in the National Hockey League, top five and plus-minus. And him and Cale Makar are about as solid as a deep pair as you can ask for. Bo Byram, he's a +8. That's tied for third best in the entire Stanley Cup playoffs, along with Eric Johnson. And that's the tops among all rookies. So, I mean, you're talking about a defensive core. And even Josh Manson, you mentioned, he's the overtime hero in game number one. His first ever playoff goal happens to be an overtime winner. But everyone has come in to do their job. It is on offense sometimes, but again, you're talking about, and I know that Taves gave the puck away for the opening goal for David Perron in game number four, but the Avalanche are able to fight back and hold them to single-digit shots in the first and the third period. You have as deep a defensive core, I think, as any team has in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Eric Johnson says the other day, he said, hey, Bo Byram could be a top D pairing on most teams here in the National Hockey League. So it is definitely a strength, if not the strength, of this Colorado Avalanche team. And when you talk about depth, everyone wants to talk about the forward group, and they may look at the third and fourth lines, and they're not seeing a ton of production there. But what may not be there is definitely coming from the back end for Colorado.
Do you think in Colorado, playoffs aside, you know, because this is a regular season award, do you think in Colorado people are going to be screaming from the rafters if Cale Makar doesn't win the Norris?
Yeah, because, I mean, that was when, obviously, Hedman should always probably be in the conversation. But Josi, to a lot of people, felt like some recency bias there because he had such an incredible march for the Nashville Predators. But the two of them went head-to-head in the first round, Dean, and, I mean, it was no contest. I mean, Cale Makar ran away with it. He had 10 points in four games in the first round, and definitely made more of a difference, was more noticeable in all three zones, in every single role, in every situation, more time shorthanded. So, I mean, it was definitely flashy and impressive what Roman Josi did in the month of March, especially. I'm never going to take it away from that. I just wonder if, when the votes were cast, if that was enough to grab enough votes for writers, or if people saw the big picture and what Cale Makar was able to do, not just in March, but all season long. So I think, would it upset some people? Yes. But I just, honestly, it's like Jared Bednar not being nominated for the Jack Adams. You know, those trophies, the Avalanche have got them in the past. I mean, they won the President's Trophy last year, didn't do them any good, just like Florida this year. I think they all care about one trophy and one trophy only.
You'll be happy to know your creature's going to jump in here, but you'll be and pass it along to him, because I always like to suck up to NHL coaches. Bednar was on my ballot. My ballot was Sutter, Cooper, and Bednar. That was my ballot. So just let him know. Just say, Jared, you know, the guy in Ottawa.
I will.
Yeah, he was right there. He was.
That'll be important.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what he'll say? Who's
who
Dean
are.
Brown?
He'll be impressed with that.
Just what are you expecting from the Blues tonight? Because I like the Avalanche. I think this is a very deep, especially up front, team. What are you expecting from them with their season on the line?
Yeah, I mean, it's the old cliche, the fourth game is the hardest to win inside of a series. The Avalanche have a couple things to their benefit. In game two, the only game they lost, it was on home ice and they didn't play well. Avs had the best home record over the past two seasons in the National Hockey League, the best home record in franchise history. It's a place where they have dominated, and they did not in game number two. And it's been rare, if not non-existent, where they don't play two bad games in a row at Ball Arena here in downtown Denver, Colorado. So I expect, obviously, a hard game from the Blues. That's how they play. They are tough. But I just get the feeling that the Avalanche know that this is a chance to close it out on home ice. And they have done that. They did that in game number four versus the Nashville Predators. Even being down a goal in the third period, they came back to tie and win. And I'm getting the sense that they know what it takes now. After all the lessons we talked about from 2019 to 2022, the Avalanche know when they have this position to try and put it away. It's not going to be easy. Jack Johnson said as much this morning when speaking to the media. He goes, we know that. It's not going to be a walk in the park, Kazansky, as we, you know, have Top Gun coming out tomorrow. But I think that the Avalanche know what it takes to win, and it'll be tough, but I think they can do it in five here tonight.
Okay, I can't believe this is my last question. I can't believe I've never asked you this before. Has nothing to do with this series. Has nothing to do with hockey. Well, other than, like, when you're on a long road trip and you come home, do you notice the altitude? Because, like, you're a Colorado. Weren't you born in, like, Breckenridge? Like, you're like...
I was, yeah.
Your whole life Colorado. So when you come home... You've been breathing the thin air your whole life. When you come home, do you notice it? Because we all notice it. Do you notice it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. It's kind of the opposite for me. My house as a kid was literally at 10,000 feet above sea level. So I was way up there. It's kind of the opposite for me. It's like when I go to sea level, like when I was in St. Louis, I said, wow, I can actually, like, breathe and everything is normal. It's not like I'm out of breath here, but I notice more oxygen when I go to sea level. So it's kind of like this is normal here, a mile high, but then I go to St. Louis, or Tampa or Ottawa, and I say, hey, what is all this oxygen? This is nice. I could get used to this. But yeah, it's noticing the more instead of noticing the less when I come home.
Last one from me, and just on the flip side, because
hold on, before you get to that, so you're in the first state that legalized marijuana. So when you're at 10,000 feet,
don't remind
and
me.
And then you light one up, like what happens then?
Great question.
Yeah.
I've never done that in my life. God's honest truth, and I really don't like it. I really despise it. So I'm good. I'm all oxygen all the time.
All oxygen. All right. Okay. All
yeah.
right.
So whenever, like I've just noticed, whenever the Senators are in Colorado and or any team, it's always that's always a question that's asked is about the altitude. How much of an advantage, or do you believe that it is for the Avalanche whenever teams come, and does it change if over the course of a playoff series where St. Louis is in town for multiple days for the first couple of games? Like, take us through what you believe or how much of an advantage you believe it is.
Yeah, I think that's the key, Graham, is multiple days, because anybody would tell you, and that's why some NFL teams even will come in a day extra. So if they're playing on Sunday afternoon, they may try and do a Friday night arrival just to have that extra day of oxygen in the blood system. So if you're on a back-to-back, if you play in Arizona one night and then you're at the Avalanche the next, that's when it may hurt you a little bit more. But if you have an off day in between, then it's maybe not noticeable, because they say it takes 24 hours, if not a little bit more, to get that acclimation. Wow, I was trying to make up a word there.
Wow.
Acclimation is the
That's
word.
A good that word, awesome. Too. That's a really good word.
Thank you very much. And so, yeah, that's got... It's acquired after about 24 hours' time. So, yeah, if it's a back-to-back, which we don't really have those in the Stanley Cup playoffs, at least so far for the Avs, Blues, or Preds, then that might be tough. But the day in between, I think, is huge, huge for teams.
Unreal stuff. Really appreciate you taking your time on a game day to join us. So thank you, and best of luck tonight on your call.
I say this honestly because we all listen to everybody else in the league. TSN 1200 is definitely tops for me. Dean and Gord are must listens, two of my favorite people in the league. I mean, Matt and Graham and you and everybody, everyone's great to me in that town, and I appreciate you very much. Always fun to listen to. So thanks for taking time for me, letting me be a part of it.
Oh, that's some fantastic sucking up, Connor. I love that. I love
I'm
that.
Good at it.
That autographed 8x10 glossy is on the way to you right now.
Perfect. I hope it's black and white.
Thanks, man. Much appreciated.
You bet.
There goes the player.